And welcome to our corner where we talk about the Streets of Avalon role-playing game. I'm Chris.
And I'm Brett.
And today we're going to talk about the Guild of Sanitary Excavators. Last week it was the sewers, and now we're talking about the people that run the sewers. So who are the Guild of Sanitary Excavators, Brett?
So all these are the men and women that make sure that all of the fresh water gets where it needs to go and all the bad water gets flushed out.
Yeah, so that's great.
Exactly. The River Styx rolls underneath Avalon, as we talked about last time, and they make sure that it flows where it needs to flow and that everything is maintained, kept up to code, as you will. They also breed and feed and maintain the Atiugs that are in the different sections of the sewers. Vera has been a beloved Atiug in a couple different campaigns when the guys were in the my crew was in the same neighborhood for a while down there.
I got one that I call Stumpy because one of his tentacles is a stump.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's the one that I like to use.
That's fun.
So they keep the sewers all like nice and flowing and clean and then structured, and anything bad that comes down there, we talked about it last time, kobolds, goblins, fae creatures, giant rats, werethings, people that are trespassing that shouldn't be down there that haven't paid their proper bribes. How is the guild structured? Like how are they organized to do all this? Because they cover, essentially a 10 by 10 mile city.
So each section of the city, the different districts has a group or a person who runs that piece of it. Then a chunk of neighborhoods will be given to another sub-leader, sub-manager, if you will. And then you have someone who manages a neighborhood.
Sure, makes sense.
And they go out, they make sure they've got enough staff, they get things taken care of, they deal with complaints and the problems, and so on.
So that's how their org chart works, which means they can call their friends to come help them if they need them.
Yes, there are a lot of them. And if nothing else, there's also a lot of, you need these guys because I need water. I need the shit moved out of my house, literally. So I need this done. So they are a group that you want to make happy. If there's a problem with them, everybody knows the sanitary excavators in the area. They know all the folks. They all the men and women that do this job. It's a dirty job, but it's got to get done.
How do you get to be a sanitary excavator? Like, how do you get that job?
Well, you have to go apply at the local guild house in your neighborhood.
The reason I ask this is the Guild of Sanitary Excavators is very differently organized from the Griffins.
Absolutely different.
Yeah, to me that's interesting in a lot of ways.
There is, the other thing of interest is that there is no magistrate house that owns this guild. This guild is, no noble is in charge of them. They are in charge of themselves.
That's really interesting. I find that to be fascinating. So you have to apply, you have to get hired. So you basically it's actually like a real job. You have to interview and stuff.
Yep. You go through, you interview, you try different things. Are you an apprentice? Get the journeyman and so forth. Utilizing kind of the union type of system.
Yeah. They are kind of like they're like Teamsters, right?
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. You want to get built up and get yourself skilled and so on and so forth.
I'm glad that's how I always imagined that they worked. I'm glad that is actually how they function. I would have been, I don't know about disappointed, but I would have been a little bit sad if that's not how they were.
It's a old school, hardcore block and tackling type of job. This is work that needs to get done. We got to go down there, cut these tree roots out. We got to go down there, build up this thing. We got to get the masons down here because the bricks crumbled. We got to get this down here. Shit, we got kobolds. All right, go back upstairs. Go get the other guys. Kill the kobolds. Come back down.
You know? Yeah, man, they're like hardcore plumbers, man.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Mario and Luigi on acid or something. I don't know. It's pretty tough.
Mario and Luigi on steroids for sure, exactly. Right? Performance enhancing drugs. So what are three ways that they can be used in the Streets of Avalon game?
One of my players, he said, I want to be a member of the guild. I'm like, that's cool. He's like, yeah, I want to have access to all this stuff. And I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah, you've got access to stuff. He made Muddy Joe, who has a horrible gambling problem.
I love Muddy Joe.
Muddy Joe's great. So I've had it as a background profession because it's a guild. You can be part of it. What I've also used it as, it's constantly a place for information because they know where all the water goes. They know where all the passages under the city go. They have access to maps. Not every member of the guild has all the maps, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you talk to Muddy Joe, he's like, look, I could tell you where these go, but I have the rest of it mapped.
Because it's just his neighborhood, right?
Yeah, I know my piece. And I don't have the whole damn thing because I'm not allowed to, I'm not ranked high enough. So they have access to all the different pathways. The other thing that they're going to know is they're going to know the known, which is kind of a redundant statement, but the known entrances into Thorbrandor, they know 90% of them.
Oh, that's interesting. That makes a lot of sense, though.
Because it's underneath.
Yep,
so they have access to this.
Hey folks, Chris here. I just wanted to jump in and say we are part of the Polygamerist Podcast Network. And with that, there's some great shows on the Polygamerist Podcast Network that you might want to listen to, like Pandas Talking Games. These are queer gamers talking about tabletop role-playing games and making outtakes. Join Pandas, Phil, and Senda every other Wednesday answering listener questions about playing, running, and designing TTRPGs. It's like Car Talk, but for your games. Now let's get back to the show.
Because they have access, effectively, to Avalon history, everything underneath, the guts, the roots, the foundation thereof, many other guilds, wizarding guilds, architecture people, if they want stuff from there and they want an expedition to go down and find something, these guys are the guides. They'll get you there. Are they fighters? Not necessarily. Are they this? No, but they know how to get places.
When we were talking about a Thorbnor campaign before, the Guild of Sanitary Excavators would be crucial to it, because you would have to either constantly be getting around them, or you'd have to make a deal with them to like go into these places to have, especially like your entrance to Thorbrandor that you're going to go in and out of all the time, secured.
Yeah, because if not, they'd be like, "Hey, what'd you knock down my bricks for? I bricked that up for a reason, you dick." The other thing that I've had them do, not just as guides, and you've got your "Hey, we're a member of the guild," that's a skill I have, or and so on. Guides, information brokers, and so forth. Because they know lots of people, is they can point you to other folks. So when I think about information brokers, not like, "Hey, I know the secret about Lord So-and-so's manor underground." But yeah, that's kind of bog standard. I'm talking about like, this building was actually bought 3 times by this family, and this family. It's kind of weird, but they know a lot of the history of it because of how, when they do work and they get billed, you know, they're sending bills out and getting paid and so on. So they have an understanding of how that functions and who owns what and what's where.
Oh, I like the idea of you're just a bunch of like thugs in your neighborhood or whatever, like your troubleshooters and such. And then the Guild of Sanitary Excavators comes to you and is like, "Hey, I got some bills that I need collected on. And if you go collect on it, I'll split it with you 50-50.
Yeah, that could happen.
That is a thing. That is a story that could happen in your game.
Absolutely.
I just like the idea that the guild has so many multiple uses because of how important they are to the actual infrastructure of the city.
If you think about the other guilds, like the Urban Harvesters Guild and so forth, the people that are growing food, anybody who has even down by the docks and so forth, if they flush waste incorrectly,
yeah,
that's not good.
The dock workers will get mad.
The dock workers are going to get
mad. The bargemen will come on you, and they're like a mob unto themselves.
Yeah, so this is not going to go well.
Last thing you want is a bunch of little, like 3.5 to 4 feet tall people coming after you. Like
exactly.
There's lots of them
stabbing you.
rain your shins.
Exactly. But I like them because they're ubiquitous too. They're in every neighborhood, and you've got your runners of Hermes and stuff, which we can talk about. But the idea of having a couple of guilds that are everywhere, because you sometimes like, do we have a carpenter's guild here? Well, maybe not, or you forget this, but there always is the Brotherhood of Sanitary Excavators. These men and women are always around because every neighborhood has to have this taken care of. And they're well known for, they keep their word, right? They cover their debts. And if you're good to them, they're good to you. They make sure things are taken care of.
Makes sense.
Yep.
Last thing. What is if you could pick one moment or one thing from the games that you've run over the years that was pretty neat, pretty interesting to you concerning the Guild of Sanitary Excavators, what would it be?
I think it was the first time when Beta decided to play Muddy Joe. And we'd never done it before. And he created Vera. I said they went down and he was guiding them. He was guiding the party through some waist deep water. It was clean water. And he sees this massive albino crocodile thing attacking this Atiug. And he used a big pipe wrench. That was his weapon.
Mm.
You know, he's like, "That's Vera. God damn it. Get out of here." And he charged into it. And I'm like, "Oh my God, Vera's, you name your Atiugs. Why don't you name your Atiugs?" And he created that whole concept of like,
I love it.
Atiugs have names. I take care of her. And he went there, wang the crap out of that albino alligator, drove it off. He's like, "Oh, poor girl. Oh, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Hey, get over there. Throw some healing on her." Like, what the? Why? What? Is it gross? Oh, hey, gross for nothing. You know, it was awesome.
I love that that's where that comes from. That just a player choice. That's all.
Yeah, it's just absolute player choice. I'm like, that is brilliant. And if it doesn't live on in this world, I'm leaving diamonds on the table. I got to pick that up.
That is us talking about the Sanitary Excavators of Avalon and how they function within the city. Hope you enjoyed that. And we will be back next week to talk about something a little different outside the city walls.
Thank you for listening to Under the Lamplight, the Streets of Avalon role-playing game podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please follow or subscribe on whatever podcatcher you listen to this on. If you'd like to get the playtest book or keep up with the ongoing development of the game, check out thestreetsofavalon.com, our home for all your Streets of Avalon content. And we'll see you under the lamplight next week.